Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care. When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Start hour two with, let's just say, it's a serious thing, but it does fit into the Haven of Nonsense profile this show has. Orike Ogunbowale, that is the sister of Dare Ogunbowale, has been arrested for punching a man in Florida after celebrating her and her team's unrivaled championship. She is a WNBA player. They also have the Unrivaled League, and she won that. And they were at 11. 11 has now become famous in South Florida for where teams go to win titles. Not a lot of teams have won titles there recently outside the Panthers, but the Panthers, Florida Panthers celebrated there, and then the gold medal U.S. hockey team celebrated there. They're like, hey, it's cold up in the north. Yeah. Flights are an issue. Let's celebrate where the Panthers celebrate.
Kachuk knows a place.
Kachuk knows. That's fun. That's a fun place to celebrate. So they celebrate it there. And now unrivaled champions celebrate it there as well. And it led to an altercation. She plays her WNBA game for the Dallas Wings. So according to TMZ, the alleged victim claimed he was attempting to escort Ogunbowale out of the club due to an unrelated altercation when she punched him in the face with a closed fist, causing him to fall to the ground. The alleged victim identified Ogunbowale, and she was taken into custody without incident for battery. Apparently, there is security footage. So they were there, her and her missed teammates, to celebrate the championship. And Paige Beckers was there as well. She's part of the team. Some social media videos have come out. We have not seen the actual video of the punch. Orike Ogunbowale is 5'8". Why do I bring that up? Because depending on how you were raised, depending on how you feel about things, some guys, after getting punched in the face by a woman, are going, you know what, charge it to the game. This is not becoming a police report. I am not taking a woman to court for punching me in the face. We don't know what led to this. I assume we will find out at some point. Some people are already going, nah, he probably did something that justified it. I don't know. I can't jump to that conclusion. What the real discussion is if I got punched in the face, whether I was in the right or in the wrong, whether I was simply escorting someone away from a previous fight, or I was the impetus for getting punched, do I report it? I'm not a tall man. I'm a little bit taller than Orike Ogunbowale. So Sean and I, right before we came back, were like, you know what? If she's a guard in the WNBA, do we go, you know what? All right, whatever. It's embarrassing, but I'm not going to make more of it. I was able to get up. No real harm, but I did get knocked to the ground.
That's part of it, is that it's like, I don't know. You just got punched in the face, dude. Like, I'm sure it doesn't feel great, but like...
Yeah. Like, would you
get beaten?
Yeah,
you know?
Would you
it
get...
Wasn't the
like,
Alvin
if a
Kamara.
Guy... If you got into a fight with a guy at a bar...
Yeah, or the Alvin Kamara nightclub brawl.
It was,
like,
it was a punch.
Yeah, the guy had a wire... His jaw wired shut. Like, yeah, no.
That was a brutal incident.
Yeah.
But if it's simply a punch, man or woman, do you go, you know what? Okay.
Got a black eye.
I'm at a bar. You don't want that to happen to you. But it's always possible, depending on who's drunk what and how much they've had. It could happen.
Yeah.
I'm firmly on the side of whether he does, quote unquote, deserved it or not. You're like, nah, I'm not. This isn't a thing. This isn't a thing. She didn't stomp you out, right? You didn't get jumped. Maybe we go, you know what, this was unfortunate. call the police. But when they get there, you know, I'm not going to press charges.
And I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way. By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
Yeah, you take a punch in the face that knocks you to the ground. Maybe this is some built-in misogyny where it's like, whatever, a woman punches you in the face, you take it and move on. Maybe that's part of it, too. I just don't know that I'm reporting this and saying she needs to get arrested. But fair is fair. That's how some people will look at it. I'm not doing the, oh, you want to be treated equally? I'm not doing that thing. But some people go, hey, you punch me in the face, I'm not going to punch you. I don't have the recourse to punch you back. That's just not how I operate. But my own my recourse is, hey, I'm gonna tell the police.
Yeah, 5'8" is like the
limit.
Like if that's she was like the border.
If she was like 5'11", you're telling the authorities.
More likely, yeah. Once you get closer to
if you're towering over me and you punch me in the face,
the tail of the tape. Once the tail of the tape it gets closer,
she's got a longer reach than you.
yeah.
Then maybe you have a conversation about it.
But you know.
She's 5'8", 165. That's her listed weight. That's the size of a regular man. Maybe not a tall man, but a man you might run into at the rodeo this weekend.
Yeah. Whatever. Bump shoulders with him.
Yeah. You're trying to get a funnel cake. He's trying to get a funnel cake.
You're not on the Dallas Wings.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm conflicted here. Somewhat about just, hey, you got punched in the face at a bar. Maybe you don't report it, period. Particularly if it doesn't become an incident where you get really beat up.
Now, he was a security guy.
Is that
right?
What his title was?
It just says she was being escorted out by security. It says TMZ is using the word officer, but I don't see.
I think that's a police officer. He talked to the officer, right?
The officer made contact with the alleged victim.
Yeah.
Who claimed? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's a person who works at the bar or an officer of the law. It was a patron who was apparently, in his eyes, being a peacemaker until she wasn't looking for his peace, and then two-pieced him in the face, allegedly.
Chris Child? Shades of Chris Child?
Allegedly. I didn't see the video. I don't know. We'll see it at some point.
We better.
I'm firmly on the side of sometimes you get punched in the face and you keep it moving.
I kind of think that.
Woman or man?
Yes. I think woman or man, like, if it is just getting punched in the face, like, there's a little bit of like, them's the breaks.
Yeah. You
have to be a very innocent bystander.
Okay, you have
or
to.
I would have to be a very innocent.
Yeah, I would say that. I would have to be. I happen to. Like, I don't know what he was allegedly breaking up, but perhaps you stay out of it to begin with. But if you want to be a good Samaritan, and the only reason you're even face to face with this woman is because you're being a good Samaritan, maybe I get it.
Even then.
But even then, like, did she punch you in the face on purpose? Or was she swinging at someone else because this altercation wasn't over and you got popped?
You better have like a broken orbital.
She better score. If she squared up on you, okay, maybe we have a conversation. But if she's swinging because you're in the way.
Yeah, wildly, yeah.
I don't know that I'm pressing charges.
Yeah. Maybe if you have some medical bill.
Yeah, we're going to need some context.
Yeah,
that's all.
Try to get her pay for the eye surgery.
Broken tooth.
Yeah.
If there's something you have to pay for, maybe we have a talk.
Yeah. But if it is just like you got punched in the face, sorry.
Play on. It's a play on for me.
Play on. Yeah, play on. Play on.
It's a play on for me.
Unless she's 6'2". Then it gets more into like, I don't know.
Yeah. If she in the tail of the tape gets a check mark in her favor for the reach and the height.
A front court player on the Dallas Wings?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe this man's not very tall. What if he's 5'6"? What if he's 5'6"?
We didn't take that into account. I didn't think of that.
What if he's just a 5'6" man trying to be a peacemaker and he got popped?
What we're saying
after all this is we need the video.
Yeah.
Much like Anthony Edwards says, show me the video for different reasons.
Different context.
Show me the video. And then we'll have then as a judge, when I put myself in the situation, I'll be able to have a real answer for this. But if you're like 5'11", dude, and she just hit you and got you clean and you fell to the ground, don't get her arrested because you're embarrassed.
Yeah, that I think that's what it is. That's the crux of it. It's like, don't do it just because you're embarrassed you got dropped by
She is a professional athlete.
That's part of it. You got allegedly the guy got dropped. Like, the guy got this is hit why once. I wanna,
did he, like, did he stumble and trip, or did he, or did the knees collapse from under him and, that, and he hits the ground like those videos we see all the time? That's why we need the video.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but
he comboed. Like, if you got comboed, that's embarrassing, and you might be upset about it. But sometimes you just got to keep it moving.
I wish for the best for
everyone involved.
Wale, for the alleged victim,
the Gooba Wale family, the alleged victim. I hope it all works out.
You know,
I
hope it doesn't dampen the miss.
The celebration. The
celebration
after they beat the Phantoms in the Unrivaled tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to the Mist. Is this the first Unrivaled or the second? I don't know.
I think it's the second.
Well, you could. That's something you can tell your grandkids, sir. I got dropped by a member of the 2026 Unrivaled champion, Mist.
Does that guy change the story to?
So he didn't fall.
No, it was the Team USA hockey celebration from 2 weeks ago.
He could try. But
you know,
Grandpa,
it was Quinn Hughes, actually.
But Grandpa, we've got video. That's the other thing.
That's true.
That's the other thing about this.
This can't turn into a tall tale.
That's the other thing about this story. And sure, this is like male pride playing a part here. If you don't report it, do we ever see a video? Because I don't know that he's taking into account that this video's probably going to leak, and it's something we're going to see.
Yeah, he definitely didn't do the calculus of if I bring charges, ESPN 97.5 in Houston will spend 10 minutes talking
about it. Forget about us on a Friday because we're just waiting to get to Michael Carroll. Forget about us.
If he didn't do that, I would have no idea this ever happened.
Forget about this silliness. If he presses charges and a video gets released, now everyone's going to see what happened.
Generally, I don't want TMZ involved in my life.
That is a proper way to go about your business.
That is like...
Particularly when I'm a non-famous entity. Like,
yes. Maybe the fortune cookie advice I could give for this segment.
Like, Raheel has the never go viral. This is another version of that. Never have TMZ in your life.
Just never be in a TMZ video.
You have all the ability in the world to avoid that because you're not famous, sir.
Yeah. Like,
the people they normally cover are famous enough where they can't help it. You are famous or not famous and can't avoid it, and you know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
people are going to find out who this guy is. They're going to dox the hell out of him. That's going to happen, too.
That's going to be a tough day on Twitter for that guy.
Yeah, so
I'll say.
Well, understandably, you just got dropped, so you're not thinking about that, but have some foresight.
Might have a concussion, you know? Some nightclub floor or the cement outside. I mean,
I guess we'll find out how it all went down.
He needs to show up in court with the neck brace.
Don't put it past him. Particularly if
he gives a press conference like the Detroit Lions fan.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, when he
but with the neck brace on.
Unfortunately, she doesn't go by initials, so he can't call her by her full name. Like, what's DK Metcalf's actual name?
Oh, it was
and that was the most egregious thing that was a part of it.
DeKalen.
Like, he called him DeKalen like he was his mother. Like, I know, look, DeKalen, hopefully you get over. And he was talking from the high horse about, hey, man. And then, of course, people responded with, you actually called DK Metcalf some stuff, and he refutes that claim. So that's where we are there. But, yeah, we'll see. Arike Ogunbowale involved in an incident in a South Florida bar. The sister of, at least as it stands now, Texan Dare Ogunbowale.
Local angle.
Yeah. There's always
sister
a tie.
Sister of Texans running back.
But really, the only reason, like, sister of Texans running back just won a title. We didn't talk about that. What we talked about is her dropping some dude in a bar.
True. So, that is true.
Yeah. There's a local angle, but there also has to be a pull for us, and that's the pull. Punch me in the face. Like, I can take it. She's an athlete. She caught you, whatever.
Of women to get punched in the face by NBA or WNBA athlete is high on the, like.
Yeah, it's that or UFC fighter.
Yeah, 20 points per game.
She's a good player, too.
Baller.
A really good player.
I was looking to see if Arike is short for anything.
So he can refer to her by her full name?
Yeah, no. And now I'm just looking at her stats and, yeah. Cooper.
And got hands, too.
Yeah, I mean.
Tough look, man. Tough look for that guy.
I guess you can't lie in your police report and say, well, I didn't get dropped. This is where yeah, the... Yeah,
do you think that came from him or another witness? I'm not telling people I got dropped.
Yeah, it's the five other people that the cops talked to all said that you landed in a puddle.
I wouldn't tell people I got dropped no matter who it was. I'm not adding that to the story.
That's not relevant, no, officer.
What's relevant is I got punched. Like, did the officer go, did she hit you full in the face? Did she make full... Great contact, or what happened here? Well, it was a graze. No, that's not the conversation. Blow. They don't talk glancing blow or she hit you flush. That's not how it goes.
So someone kind of slip it like Mayweather, you know?
No, someone who was there said, yeah, she dropped his ass. That's how it went. Or at least told TMZ that.
I stepped on him.
Yeah. She knocked him down and stepped over him like Allen Iverson did to Ty Lue. She wanted it to be known. All right. However that works out, T's and P's, everyone involved. We'll go to break with that. Michael Carroll will join us shortly. If you want to call in, certainly, to him or to talk to him, it's 713-780-3776. But before we go to break, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. I did a spot recently for them, and I did not know this about them. They'll run a gas line for you if you have a propane grill. So none of that, hey, is my propane tank full? How am I going to get this grill started? They got you set up there. Those are the things they do. Of course, as the name says, they're about plumbing as well. So any problems you have concerning plumbing, they'll take care of them for you. Small jobs, big jobs, it doesn't matter. They're the right people to go to. So think about this. You got a big problem and you don't know how to fix it. No matter what it is, you're going to call an expert. That's why you need to go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They have experienced, excellent contractors who have done these jobs at a great rate for a long time. So the thing that you got to remember, particularly if you have an older home, you want to be preemptive. You don't want to all of a sudden turn your water on one day and the water comes out dirty. It stinks. That's a big problem. You don't want big problems in your home. Aqueduct Plumbing Company can prevent them. So maybe you need a repipe done. They're the people for that. And if you don't know what the price will be for anything that you want them to take care of, you can get a free price quote. They do not charge you for that. So go to the website, find what you're looking for. They'll get that done for you. You can also call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. It's the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
And action! It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
We'll give Michael time. Get ready. We kind of surprised him. He expected us to go a little bit longer before we got to him, but he's here now. Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast.
I thought y'all had another segment or something.
Nah.
Okay.
At times, I've done, depending on Raheel and what he wants to do, I've done far more radio than I'd like this week. So it's time to hear from you. We got our stuff out of the way. We did everything that needs to be discussed has been discussed. If the Texans make a trade, we'll jump in. But at this point, it's time to get to maybe the fun stuff. So let me ask you this before we really get going. Did you see the Lanterns trailer?
I did see it.
There is a bit of a, maybe not a conflict, but there's been a conversation about that trailer. It is not as lantern-y as people would like. Of course, we know that Nathan Fillion's character will be in that movie. So we have seen how his character was treated in the Superman movie. So I don't think there will be lack of lantern type things. But if you look at it, if you just go by the trailer, beyond the fact that Kyle Chandler does fly at one point, it feels like some type of True Detective thing.
Then you
throw in the old lantern and Hal Jordan versus the new lantern, that dynamic as well. So that is familiar when it comes to cop procedurals. So I watched the trailer and I figured out when I think of myself loving that trailer and also my lack of care for anything whimsical, like I don't care if we have one bright green color in the entire thing, because I like the vibe of that trailer. It is just another line in the line of things I don't fit with when it comes to people who love like IP stuff. We know I don't like aliens and Star Wars, which is an odd thing to not like. So that trailer is like, I'm in. It feels like prestige television with some DC stuff sprinkled on top.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not alone there, but I'm not the majority probably after watching the trailer. How do you feel about Lanterns one trailer in?
I mean, I liked it. And this is how they described it from day one or whatever, True Detective style, and they sure on delivered on that. I think the whole outcrying of, oh, there's no space, and where's the space in my Lanterns? It's like just people being upset to be upset about something, because then we're probably comparing it to the Green Lantern movie and just other aspects. People have brought up about the suit.
It's faded, the color green.
The faded, and it's a suit. He normally brings it up, and it's like, well, did you want Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern suit? Is that what we all wanted? No, I don't think so.
Did you want a CGI suit?
And Nathan Fillion, correct me if I'm wrong, his suit was just, you know, his clothes or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, I don't think that's a big deal. And I think they said, what if we do something different with Green Lantern? Let's not make it cosmic based. Let's do something unique with the character. And they're basically space cops, right? So let's have them investigate something. And you mentioned about like extraterrestrials and things like that. And they mentioned about like a Green Lantern squirrel and all that. We're not necessarily going to see the Green Lantern alien aspect, but one of the characters in the trailer, played by, let me make sure I have his name correct, Paul Ben Victor. He is supposedly playing a character named Anton, who is a extraterrestrial devoted to exposing the truth and exacting vengeance against those who wronged his people, and consumed by a deep hatred, unrelenting hatred for the law, which seems to put him at odds with Hal Jordan and John Stewart. And so there is some alien stuff that'll happen.
And aliens were referenced in the trailer.
So it's going to have its cosmic stuff, but you're going to just have it in a True Detective skin, which seems like an interesting way to tell a story. And it's not like a full on origin story, because obviously John Stewart's been with Hal Jordan for, as it said in the trailer, 2 months. So that's an interesting dynamic to see play out in this series.
So that was probably maybe the biggest trailer as far as that genre. I'm trying to think if anything else popped up.
This week, no, not so much.
Yeah, I would agree. So Michael hosts Comicast. He does that with John Lee. You can hear it wherever you listen to podcasts. And, of course, unless there's a preemption, you can hear it on Wednesday nights here on ESPN 975. So what was the latest edition of Comicast about?
The latest edition was about the Paramount Warner Brothers deal. And Jong and I kind of processing our emotions through all of that, what it means for DC, what it means for...
What's your biggest concern?
Well, media consolidation, the continued like, oh, we're going to buy this studio, and Paramount's MO is lay off a bunch of people and close studios down. We compared it, at least I compared it a lot to what's happened with Microsoft and Xbox and Sony with PlayStation. PlayStation has bought like 6 studios in the past like 10 years or whatever, and 3 of them have closed, and the most recent being Blue Point Games. Microsoft kind of not quite the same deal, but very close to it. So when you look at media consolidation, you look at a loss of options. Paramount says they're going to deliver 30 movies a year, 30 to 40 movies a year. Is that really going to happen? Are they going to come in and mess with James Gunn and DC, what they're doing? Are they going to mess with some of the other studios besides DC and James Gunn? That's our biggest concerns is, you know, when you have $110 billion deal, usually that comes with cost cutting in some way. And they're saying all the right things right now. It's like, oh, it'll be systems and this and that. But Paramount's MO to this point is layoffs, and that's going to hurt the industry. So concerned about that, and then a few other factors.
Do you think this media consolidation, which continues, hurts creatives as much as people say?
Because when you take Warner Brothers off the board in terms of a studio that you can go to, like now that it's under the Paramount group, you look at what happened with Disney and Fox and all that, one of their studios that Disney acquired was Searchlight, and their production in terms of movies, it hasn't fallen off completely, but it's nowhere near what it used to be. So stuff is not getting greenlit as much as it used to be. When it does, it's great. Like Rental Family, Searchlight Pictures, it's a very good film, but we're not seeing as much. The rate of releases has decreased. The positive spin would be maybe creatives that are in smaller, like entrepreneurial type situations, maybe that the rise of stuff like that, like Dropout TV, something along those lines where it's more powered by the audience and we can get stuff that way. But when you take something off the board, it's harder to get stuff greenlit unless you're the big names like Christopher Nolan, Ryan Coogler, some of these others. The smaller projects that come through, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's still very early on, and this deal is not even officially confirmed yet. It's going to take probably a year at the very least, year and a half. Like the Microsoft Activision deal took from January, I think it was, January 2022 to October 2023. So we're looking at a long process before this thing actually goes through.
So the business of media, you can hear that on the latest Comicast.
Yeah. We also talk about the... Sean and I talked about this yesterday. Sony rebooting the Spider-Man-less universe that they have.
This is still going on. I know. Well, they have a thing they have to do, because if they don't make a Spider-Man property in a certain amount of time, it reverts back to Marvel. Yeah. So that's why you see these things pop up. You're like, who is asking for this? Well, mm-hmm.
They got to make something.
They got to make something or lose the rights to Spider-Man, which is certainly a very profitable thing for them. Mm-hmm. So if you see a Madam Web or other things, this is the reason why.
Yeah, and there's a Venom animated movie coming. There's supposedly a Spider-Punk animated movie on the way.
Is Daniel Kaluuya voicing it, or is he busy?
Daniel Kaluuya is a big part of that production. Okay. So we'll see where that goes. And then Spider-Gwen, I think, is in the works. And then, of course, we got Spider-Noir coming out.
So will
May.
The Spider-Punk and Spider-Gwen, will they be part of the Spider-Verse universe, or that be a separate entity?
I think it's still a separate thing. Like, I don't know how that, like, it still ties to Spider-Man, so that's still, like, technically something produced by them. So, but they got to do, you know, release something in the meantime, because their last release was, what, 2024? So, I don't know. I don't remember what
the years
are. Like,
there are rules about they got to be in production by a certain point.
Yeah.
And, of course, the release and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of just behind-the-scenes stuff.
That's why you got, like, back when in the early 2000s when we got those Fantastic Four movies, it was like, we got to make something. Yeah. We got Fantastic Four in 2005 and 2007, I think. And then 2015, it was like, we got to make it or the rights revert back. So
they would have done us a favor.
Venom 4, One Last Dance?
No. I mean, unless that's the animated version. Because Tom Hardy is a part of this. I don't know if he's voicing, but...
I'm hoping for the Rhino origin story, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is a Sinister Six, so, like...
I was clearly not serious. And you hear the emotion in
there
his
was emotion
for the
in
possibility
that, one.
Of that
there
happening.
Was emotion.
Yeah.
I just...
Come on.
Our big thing is, at least Jong and I, our big thing is... Spider-Man adjacent characters are interesting because they're Spider-Man
adjacent. You know. They're next to Spider-Man.
They're next to Spider-Man.
The solo
kind of a
Spider-Man
key part.
Characters.
Yeah, solo stuff. How compelling can they be?
No. Give me the Amazon Prime series, Norman Osborn and Dr. Octavius, the college years.
Oh,
and give me four seasons of that.
I don't want to see, like, I talked to Jong about this. I don't want to see a Dr. Octopus movie. Like, I don't care. Like, I like the character because of his relationship with Peter.
I like
Peter
Alfred
Parker.
Molina, but I'm not looking for a movie based simply off of him.
No.
Yeah.
I do use the meme, but I don't want to use, you know what I mean? Like, the power of the sun. And all
infinite
that.
Power.
Yeah.
Palm of sand.
Yeah. A bit of a scientist myself, you know, like that stuff.
Come on. How'd those guys meet?
No. I don't care about that. No. Don't you tempt this.
September 2027 on Amazon Prime.
No.
This is the man who was... pretty much against the weapons. Is it weapons?
Yeah.
The weapons prequel.
Prequel.
But dying for Doc Ock. And,
yeah.
And
because I have reverence for what
the college years.
Vatican did. I have no reverence.
Don't you want her to work more?
I don't want you to ever use that word again.
Reverence? or Amy Madigan? Which one?
Reverence.
Okay.
For stuff. Don't paint this with like a
name out your mouth.
Don't paint this as like a Oscar winning thing or whatever, a prestige thing.
Sticking with that, I'm in the middle of watching Greenland 2, And it says incoherent, as you might have said, or you might have said.
Speaking of Oscar-winning things, or reverence for cinema?
An undue reverence that you have for certain things. I'm in the middle of that and going, what's going on here?
Why? Thought the same thing when I watched it.
At this point, they're in London, and the guy who was schlepping them around, as the parts of a comet were coming down, goes, hey, hide in the trees. But he runs out to his van because it's the only thing I have.
Bam.
And he's dead. So that's where I'm at. And that's a stupid movie so far. Yeah, I mean, it's Gerard Butler, so I get it.
Hey, you know what's great?
What?
The Bride.
You are not alone, but a bit of a limb on that. I've seen people crush this movie on Twitter.
It's definitely a love it or hate it movie, it feels like. And I'm surprised right now with critics, it's 60%. I had a chance to go see it earlier this week, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was thoroughly entertaining. I gave it a 4 out of 5. It's unique. It's different. I went in expecting a Bonnie and Clyde movie, but with classic movie monsters. That is not what it is in terms of aesthetics and some of the appeal of what's going on, but it is a chaotic, unhinged love story, but also just over the top, just insane performances. Specifically, Jesse Buckley is insanely good. And there's an aspect to this movie that I didn't realize was going to be part of it until like the first few minutes of it. I don't want to say it because I think it's best not to know about it going into it. I think it's out there for people. I think others have talked about it, but I want to keep it kind of quiet because I think if you're in it for those first 5 minutes, like if you're like, oh, this is what this movie is going to be, then I think you'll enjoy it. If not, you may pass on it. One of the descriptions that a person I follow, Nadia Martinez, she described it best. This is what The Bride is what Joker 2 wishes it was. Mm. And the comments I've gotten is like people think it's a musical. It's not a musical. There is musicality to it. Like there's a dance sequence, but it's not like them breaking out into song and doing this and that. This is a dramatic story.
It better
story.
Not be, Michael.
No,
you know
it's
how
not.
I hate songs pushing narratives forward in movies and television.
No, this is like Frankenstein in this movie. He really likes like old movies, specifically a certain actor of this time. And so there is, you know, movies of this time, because the movie's set in 1936. So you had those black and white where there is some singing and dancing, but that's where the musicality comes from. And his love for this one particular actor is kind of what propels some of that aspect. But it is more focused on his loneliness and the bride coming in and wanting a bride, and Jesse Buckley being what's the smile?
I'm picturing Frankenstein doing like Dancing in the Rain. That's what I'm picturing.
Kind of,
tap dancing.
Well, it's funny because he envisions himself in different moments, and so you see him in, like all dressed up. It's funny.
I'm like, okay,
but it's not. Again, it's not like they're gonna break into song and like, oh, I want to commit crime. You know, like it's nothing like that. It's nothing like that.
The last discussion I heard about The Bride was maybe a day or two ago, and the discussion was, Is this movie so bad that it's going to cost Jesse Buckley her Oscar in Hamnet?
No,
I this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the level of discourse where you are and what other people I've heard say about it.
It is so, like, again, the aspect that I don't want to say, it's like you're either in it or you're not. Like it happens in the first like few minutes of the movie. And it was like, oh, that's what's happening for this movie. Cause then that explains some of the weirder aspects of the film. And if you're in it, I think you like it. But if you're not, like, oh, this is confusing, this doesn't make sense. There's a mob plot angle that's like, it's fine, but it's not great. So if you're in for the weirdness, I think you'll enjoy it. And again, I can't say enough about Jesse Buckley. This is like amazing, amazing. She switches vocal styles like on a dime. Like she's just really manic with her delivery, and it goes from 0 to 60 with ease. Like it's really like remarkable what she does. I really enjoyed her performance, and I think that's partly why I really enjoyed the movie.
Michael, you also saw a movie, but it's under embargo.
Yes.
That has less of the back and forth. People are just all in on Project Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that at some point when you can.
Yeah.
But from what I can tell, that one unquestioned people are in on that one.
I got a chance to see that on Tuesday as well. And yeah, you're right. Review embargo's up next Tuesday, but the movie doesn't come out till March 20th. So I think that's a cue of, oh, this is going to be good. Also, I'll just say what I wrote as my reaction. I loved every minute of it, and I can't wait to talk to people about it because it is that good.
Sean feels better about The Bride, probably.
I'm still thinking about
Singing in the Rain, yeah, Frankenstein.
Yeah, him imagine opening up a umbrella and floating off like Mary Poppins.
He doesn't float, but he does have like a tuxedo and. There is an umbrella, though. There actually is an umbrella. So you're on like a right track.
Yeah. Gene Kelly. Is that the actor he likes?
No, it's. Okay. I think it's made up for the movie, but that's Jake Gyllenhaal's character.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's good cast too. Annette Bening, Penelope Cruz, Peter Sarsgaard,
and of course Jesse Buckley and
Christian Bale.
Yeah,
and then the guy who I've seen in multiple things now. He was the president in Superman. He's the director in Wonder Man. I forget his name off the top of my head, but he's also in this movie as a crime boss. Very good. And before we get too far away from Project Hail Mary, I do want to say non-spoiler review coming next week on issue 636 of Comic-Cast.
All right, so you can hear it there first before.
And then depending on Texas A&M's schedule, you should be able to hear it on ESPN 97.5.
Got it. So yeah.
Hopefully A&M's playing at like 11 o'clock. That way we can leave early. People can listen to Comic-Cast.
You're right.
We have not been, this show hasn't been preempted by that at any point yet. But it is at that time of the year.
God willing.
You never know.
God willing we are.
You'll dedicate it to his craft. You hear it in his voice. All right, we'll go to break. Keith, I see you. You want to talk a TV show. Michael will have more on This Weekend in movies and Television when we come back.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
We are certainly in the middle of that movie talk. Let's get to Keith, who wants to talk some TV, and then we'll continue on with Michael and his maybe some wrecks and other maybe things not to watch. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Recently, just a couple questions. Recently, season 2 trailers have dropped for The Beef on Netflix and then Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV. Just wanted to see which one you guys are maybe more excited for, and obviously, a lot of rumors circulating with The Bear, you know, wrapping up shop with season 5. Do you think that show just kind of came out too strong and kind of fizzled out? Or should they have, you know, instead of doing the bulk release of episodes, should have gone in a week-by-week scenario, kind of how The Pit's doing, to kind of maintain the interest of people? Because when The Bear first came out, like you guys remember, it was the talk of the town. But when you bang out 10 episodes in one night, you know, you just kind of lose interest in it. And then it's over, and then you wait a whole other year. So just want to get your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Well, that has always been the question of how you release your episodes. When you are a new show that and you're maybe not sure about the response, you do that. Other shows, depending, particularly if you're on HBO, the prestige part of it, even if it is an HBO Max thing, you can see there, it's the weekly model. It's all. I think it's all about maybe sometimes your belief in the show. We saw Stranger Things, which was an initial dump at once as the show grew over the course of a decade. They decided that we would have a different way of releasing it over the course of the last two seasons. So I'm a fan. I thought I was a fan of the model of let's release them all at the same time. Netflix's stuff, depending on the quality,
depends.
Put them all on at once. Let me get through it. But if I know this is good, like Paradise, which we have not mentioned, give me a week between. It's good enough that I'm going
to
remember.
Yeah, I think The Bear season like 2 or 3, they should have moved to weekly, I think. And especially because when it normally drops in the year, it's normally like middle of June or July. Like normally they have some open runway to like they could actually really like, you know, matter in the, you know, have people talking about it.
Do you guys, because I know both of y'all have watched The Bear. do you guys think, because I was talking to Brian McDonald about the Peaky Blinders movie that's coming out later this month, and he really liked the show, but his point was, like, you know, they're scrapping along in the first couple of seasons, but then they make it, and then it was like, does it change? Is that maybe something with the bear? It's like they were scrapping so long, maybe. And then it's like, okay, they made it.
What's the story?
Yeah, what's the story? And does it... I think one of the aspects that I know of the bear is that you get a lot of special guest cameos as you go later on. Does that take away?
I think you sit around, like, because normally it's like one episode with, like, that's where they call in all the big guns, right, like a family reunion type thing, where it's like, oh, yeah, here's Jamie Lee Curtis to be the mom for, like, three scenes in this episode. But I think really it was, like, they've made the restaurant now. Now it's just kind of like, it's hard running a restaurant.
Yeah, it's maintaining it. Yeah.
And it's like, which we know from season one of this show, when it was a much worse restaurant. I think it's that. And I think the last season, it was like half a season worth of actual, like, plot happening. Mm-hmm. And it had a little bit of it got stretched a little too thin, I think.
The other aspect when it comes to, like, weekly versus, it depends on the story. Because, like, Wonder Man, I was wanting it to be weekly, but then I, you know, watched the show and I was like, oh, I get why you would do it all at once. I'm typically more on the lines of, I would like it week to week, maybe give me two or three at the beginning, you know, something like that.
To get you hooked.
To kind of get you hooked, and then just go week to week if you really want to do something where you do binge a little bit. But, like, for me, I've always liked the week to week because it gives me time to process, time to think, you know. If you binge it all, like Keith was saying, you binge it all in a weekend, and then it's just out of your mind for another year. And then especially if it's a big show.
For people who like to talk about these things, have discussions, the binge model, it's about a weekend.
It's about a weekend, and then
the conversation, you move on to something else, as opposed to some of the prestige stuff you see on HBO becomes a weekly occurrence. The Monday after, you're here at work or with us talking about it. So it's a little different. So we are running out of time. Michael, let's get to a couple of things before we wrap it up.
The big movie that's going to dominate, I think, this weekend is Hoppers, the Pixar movie. It's getting rave reviews, 96%. So if you're looking for something to take the kids this weekend, definitely go check out Hoppers. That's probably the biggest release. I do want to mention Heel, the Good Boy, which stars Stephen Graham as a person who abducts a guy, and he's trying to teach him to be a good boy because he's a hooligan.
I saw that come across. He's apparently, from what I saw, the kid is a issue drinking and driving.
He's drugs, parties, drinking, all this stuff. And Stephen Graham's character finds him and kidnaps him, and he's basically chained him up in the basement. And the wife are trying to make him be a good boy, but it's like a psychological thriller in that sense. It's getting good reviews, 94%. It's a limited release, so it may be difficult to get times, but just be aware of that.
Don't tell that guy about Miles Garrett's driving habits.
streaming-wise, there's quite a lot, actually. Rooster, the new Steve Carell show, comes out on HBO this Sunday at 9 p.m. our time. This is the comedy that's done by from creator Bill Lawrence, of course, from Ted Lasso, Shrinking, and all those shows. It feels very much like in that vein, but also starring Danielle Deadweiler and a few others, John C. McGinley. It looks interesting, getting good reviews, 83% right now. Young Sherlock from Guy Ritchie is out on Prime Video.
I watched the first couple. I don't know that I like the actor who plays Sherlock far as what he's doing in that role.
It's getting solid reviews, so that's why that's the main reason why I bring it up. 82% with critics, 84% with audiences. If you want a dumb action movie, War Machine with Alan Richardson. That's out this weekend.
Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
Because have you seen the trailer for this?
I've seen it when it first dropped, but I haven't seen it recently.
Because it's an elite U.S. Army Ranger team that's training, but they encounter this alien creature thing.
I've seen that part. Yeah.
This feels like the moment, like early on in Bumblebee from that movie where the soldiers run into Bumblebee in the woods or whatever, And they said, let's do that, but make it a whole movie.
Oh.
That's what it feels like.
Okay.
Now, it's getting good reviews, which I am surprised by because it looks stupid. It just looks stupid. So.
Sometimes stupid is good.
Yeah, don't turn your nose up.
I'm just saying. And then
elitist.
One other thing, Keith mentioned earlier the Beef trailer and Your Friends and Neighbors. I know Jong is really looking forward to Beef. He really enjoyed season one, so want to compliment that.
Thank you, Michael. We're short on time despite starting on time, but we still got it. We still got it.
We got there.
We got there. Thank you, Michael. He's the host of Comicast.
Thank you.
You heard him mention Jong Lee. He does Comicast with Jong. You can hear that if they're not preempted right here on ESPN 97.5 on Wednesdays. But, of course, wherever you listen to podcasts, it's there for you as well. We're done for the weekend. Since we're done for the week, John, what's it going to be?
Flip me over, Mike.
You got it, John.
John. I would say at his all-time best and worst during the 9 o'clock hour today. We're done. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.